We've been hearing a lot lately about autism. It seems the incidence or the rate of children being diagnosed with autism is increasing, and the state government is trying to change to address that as far as insurance goes. But now the American Psychiatric Association has come out with some revisions that involve autism and several other conditions. We have in studio with us Russell Hyken, who is a teen therapist and certified educational diagnostician, also a psychotherapist. Thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Here's something I wanted to clear up just out of the gate, because while we hear about autism a lot, there's also Asperger's, and I think most people who aren't directly involved with someone who has either are kind of confused as to what the difference is.
Well, you know, they share some similarities, and the similarities are that both sets of individuals suffer from communication issues and social issues, but they differ in very many ways as well. An individual with autism often has cognitive problems. An individual with Asperger's is of average intelligence or high average intelligence. Individuals with autism also have severe language delays in many cases, but an Asperger's individual will have regular or I'd say average to above average verbal abilities. And to me, the most significant one is in the area of play. An autistic child really has no interest in playing with other kids, but an Asperger's child wants to play with other kids. They just don't know how to do it.
Now, why do the powers that be want to make the changes that they are proposing?
Well, I think, you know, when you look at both of these issues, they are communication disorders. So in many ways, there's a spectrum. If you have severe communication disorders, you're more on the autistic side. If you don't have severe communication disorders, but there are communication problems, they put you on the high-functioning autistic side or Asperger's. So very confusing. But I think one of the benefits would be is that by lumping these individuals together, services are going to be more available for all students.
And there was something that cleared the wires last week that the proposed autism diagnosis change is angering Aspies, which I didn't realize was a term that folks with Asperger's have for themselves. Would it be angering them?
Individuals with Asperger's often consider their Asperger-ness to be an advantage. I mean, these are highly intellectual, highly verbal individuals, and that oftentimes do extremely well in the world, where individuals with autism don't share those types of characteristics and typically need some type of support over their entire lifespan. So an Asperger's individual can go out, marry, have a great job, and in some cases really excel in their field because they'll over-focus on a particular area.
So they might even be wearing this as a badge of honor. Therefore, they're feeling like they're being dragged down in this group of potential ne'er-do-wells. Just,
glad you said that, but not me. But
no, I'm being quite serious. They're being snooty about it.
But I think, you know, you hit on a point. You know, even though Bill Gates is not officially diagnosed with Asperger's, he's sort of like the poster child for Asperger's, and that, you know, somebody with impaired social abilities has risen to this great level. So imagine that as being your role model and somebody you can identify with, or in historical sense, Albert Einstein or Thomas Edison, great figures that were thought to have Asperger's.
Wow. So ultimately, you think the American Psychiatric Association is doing this to help so that people could get more assistance?
Well, I think that is the intention. You know, they don't want to slice and dice the pie and say this person has this and this person has that. But I do think it muddies the waters for people in education. And I also think that I would rather see a more clearly defined definition of Asperger's before we sort of merged it all together.
The proposal isn't, this wouldn't actually take place until 2012. So horse trading can go on here between now and then until the official rules are put into play.
Absolutely correct. I think there's going to be a lot of debate. And to me, that's been the biggest benefit of this whole issue that we're all on the table right now is we're talking about it. So if you didn't have awareness of Asperger's or autism, now maybe you do. And that's a really positive thing.
Are you dealing with patients more with autism and Asperger's? Because I think this is one of those things where the average person says, wow, I'm hearing so much about autism. Are more people being diagnosed with it, or is it becoming more common? Nobody seems to be quite sure about the rise in autism cases.
I definitely am getting a lot more phone calls and diagnostics for individuals with Asperger's because we're creating an awareness of what those issues exactly are. What's interesting with the Asperger's kids, though, sometimes they really go undiagnosed, especially in those smaller schools where, you know, we just accept that individual for their quirkiness and they're part of the team. You know, they get play dates. And so parents don't really realize it. But as they get older, you get into a bigger environment, it starts to click. Something's going on.
Autism, it seems that autism, you should be able to or might have an inkling that there's something going on that's not quite normal earlier on in life. But if you have a child, what are some of the things that you should be looking for? I'm not saying warning signs, but when it comes to Asperger's, what should you be looking for?
Well, I think when you have a child with Asperger's, some of the identifying characteristics are going to be tone of voice, for one. A lot of Asperger's kids are very monotone, or they have problems regulating their tone. So they'll speak at the same volume, whether they're in a movie theater or whether, you know, they're at home wanting to talk. You'll see these sort of circumscribed interests, you know, almost obsessive interests, not almost, obsessive interests, where they'll just get into an area and really tackle it, sports statistic, historical facts, things like that. I had a student in my office one day, and he knew every Scooby-Doo episode ever made. So you see things like that. I had a 10-year-old making Nixon jokes, very funny, and I enjoyed my time with him, but certainly not something that you would typically see out of that age. So it's that circumscribed interest that I think that's really noticeable. And then difficulty interacting with peers. They really want to play with peers, but they just don't know how to.
You have a website, which is ed-psy.com, which I'm sure people can head there to get more information. But if a parent listening right now has a suspicion of possibly autism or Asperger's, what's the first thing they should do with that child? Or who should they call?
Well, I think the first thing to do is, you know what, talk with the school personnel, a school teacher, a school counselor, a school administrators, because you know what, they see your kids every single day, all day long, and they'll be able to tell you a lot. And then make sure you get a referral to an appropriate mental health professional.
Russell, thanks for the time. We appreciate it greatly.
Thanks for having me.
Russell Hyken, the teen therapist and certified educational diagnostician who joined us today. We'll put his website up on our blog as well at KMOX.com in just a couple of minutes.